Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17, if you would, please. And we're going to read verses 11 through 19. If you found your place, would you please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God? Beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We're going to talk about another characteristic in the Christian life. And that characteristic is that of being grateful. Being grateful. And like I mentioned a little bit ago, gratefulness seems to be a lost characteristic in our world today. And may I say, we do need desperately to revive it. Desperately. So being grateful just simply means kindly disposed towards one from whom a favor has been received, willing to acknowledge or repay benefits. So these, first of all, these two things that stick out to me are being kindly disposed towards someone and willing to acknowledge that there has been some benefit received. Can I tell you something? Just the fact that God allows us to have life. Okay? This puts every human being into the category of needing to be grateful. Really, it does. God is the giver of life. And not just life in itself, but also we know spiritual life. You've heard the cliche, right? If you're born once, you die twice. And if you're born twice, you die once. Okay, everybody's heard that before? If you haven't heard that before, obviously you have the physical birth, right? If that's all you have, there'll be a physical death and a spiritual death. If you have a physical birth and a spiritual birth in Jesus Christ, then you just have a physical death to look forward to and life for all eternity in heaven because of Jesus Christ. You understand that that is something to be grateful for. To be grateful for. Hey, and listen, in a weird kind of way, even those that do not accept Jesus Christ, they ought to be grateful that they even had a chance for salvation. And now it's their own doing that they did not choose it or have not chosen it. But can I tell you something? You say, but those are, you're really picking at little things to be thankful for and grateful for. Yes, I am. Because really, it's in the little things, isn't it? We need to understand that we need to learn to be grateful. You say, I am grateful. Well, there's a slight difference between being grateful and nobody knows that you are, and being grateful and people do know that you are. It's just a slight difference. Okay? How many have you ever heard statement as far as how do you show how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. You say you need to go back to spelling class. I may need to go back to spelling class, but it's because it's not. I love this and I love that. I love my family. I love God. I love my wife. I love my children. Okay, how do they know, or how does everybody else know? Because of the time you spend. Hey, How close are you to God? Just count up how much time you spend. You understand that this gratefulness needs to be shown in our lives. It needs to be expressed in our lives, not just kept inside. And listen, I'm sure you're grateful for salvation, for life, for all the things that God has provided for us. But when's the last time you actually showed it? Or how often do you show it? And may I say, probably with all of us, it needs to be more, not less. It just does. We were listening to the messages and things these last couple of nights at the conference, and it is nice. I've kind of grown accustomed these last 16 years to honestly listening to messages Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now I taught Sunday school, and yes, I was working in the sound room, but I still listened. I still paid attention, you know, and things like that. I do have to admit that now being pastor, there's a lot less listening to messages of other people. Now I am quite involved preparing messages for you that you can listen to. All right. Otherwise, we could just play some, I guess, for Losi. I could just stand up here and open my mouth and. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. I enjoyed it, and one of the things that hit me was Brother Ray was talking just about some different things about not quitting and not giving up. But you know, one of the things that we need to do in our lives is encourage more. And all that meant to me was I want to encourage people, and I want to be grateful for people or things, but we need to express it more. We have that within us, I suppose, naturally, but we need to get it out and open our mouths and maybe use our hands. And one of the things that I'm really bad at is actually writing, like letters and notes and cards and things. I guess my personality, I'd rather pick up a phone and call somebody or speak to them face to face, which I suppose is fine, but I am trying to develop the other thing as I mature as a individual. But horrible not to do either one. Okay? Or even try to develop one or the other if you're not good at one or the other. But some way, shape, or form, we need to express our gratitude. Hey, listen. You ever heard how, we're using cliches tonight, I guess. You ever heard how, if this relationship is not right, then this relationship cannot be right? So if we're not willing to express gratitude toward God, then that probably means we're not willing to express gratitude toward others. So we need to, as Christians, learn to express gratitude more frequently to our God, and then naturally we'll have a habit and learn to express gratitude on the horizontal plane. You see, God wants us to express our gratitude. In verse 19 of this text, as the leper came back, and it just happened to be the Samaritan leper, and he was going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, he called this man a stranger. That supposed means that the other nine were Jews. By supposition, what Jesus kind of said there, we could kind of come to that conclusion. He said, this stranger came back and gave glory to God. And then in verse 19, he said, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now listen, when we meet Jesus, that's the point of salvation. It's the point of salvation. And we need to be grateful for our salvation. You know what being grateful to the Lord for our salvation will do? It'll help us to spread it to others and pass it on to someone else. Why? Because it's something we're grateful for. It's something of value to us. And we're not ashamed to talk about it. To be thankful that we're saved. And to spread it abroad to others. In Psalm 69, verses 29 to 30, the Bible says, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." You see, we are poor and needy. And the salvation of God makes us rich through Jesus Christ. It gives us what we need for life. And we should have a song in our heart and magnify him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, the Bible tells us, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." You know, Psalm 100, read it through many times. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." If God is your salvation, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You ought to say so. You ought to be a witness and a testimony. But you also ought to be thankful to God for that salvation every single day. I mean, there shouldn't be a day that goes by that you don't open your little eyeballs in the morning and just kind of, I mean, obviously you're breathing all through the night, otherwise you wouldn't be seeing the daylight with your little eyeballs, okay? But as you kind of notice that first breath after becoming alert or aware, you got to thank God for it. God didn't have to give you another day to live. And may I say, God didn't have to give you another day to live for him because of salvation. And we ought to give God thanks and give him the glory for it, because he hath provided salvation for us. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even Jonah said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." You understand, God has given us the benefit of salvation. And we need to be willing to acknowledge it. And we need to be kindly disposed towards him, because this great favor has been bestowed upon us. Are you there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Look at verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Just let me do a little check here. That's saved people. Okay? "Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate." He knew from the beginning. They were chosen from the beginning to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Did you notice that he said there he was bound to give thanks? He was bound to give thanks. In other words, Paul said, I have to give thanks to God. I have no other choice within my being than to give thanks to God. Do you feel that way when it comes to gratitude? Hey, listen. We've been bought with a price. We have been paid for. Doesn't that sound like a binding agent to you? Yeah, it does to me, right? Until I decide otherwise, this tie, whether or not you like it or whatnot, I bought and paid for it. And actually, right now, it's physically bound to me. Okay? But until I decide to give it away or throw it away or do something with it or lose it or whatever I decide to do, it's mine. Are we not His? And shouldn't we be bound to give thanks? We should. I mean, I just love that Paul said that. He said, we are bound to give thanks. We ought to be thankful for salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, if you take a look at this, he says he's exhorting them, he's encouraging them, he's trying to get them to see that they need to be praying for people. All right? Prayers. Supplications. That's like begging God. Intercessions. In other words, we're trying to cut off maybe judgment from God, and we're trying to get in there and try to see some people saved. We're interceding for them. In other words, maybe they're not seeking after God, but we're trying to get it so that God would allow something to happen and work out so that they could be saved. We've been praying for Zion's grandma to be saved if she's not. She not necessarily has been praying that, but we're doing it for her. So he says, these things, but he says, did you notice there, why in the world would he add giving of thanks? What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with prayers and intercessions and supplications? He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Isn't that odd to you? Why is that in there? It's kind of strange. Hey, how about this? When's the last time you thanked someone for being able to talk to them about the Lord? Or you've been thankful to someone and that allowed you to be able to talk to them about the Lord? You know, a thankful, grateful spirit and attitude opens a lot of doors. It opens a lot of doors. You know, other places, it talks about being an example and a testimony and serving as we would serve Jesus Christ so that others will see and ask us about the salvation that is within us. You see, I think that giving thanks for all men, it has to do with them coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hey, maybe this is a stretch, but when's the last time you thanked a telemarketer for calling you and said, I am so glad you called me today. Thank you very much. I do not want your services, but however, I do want to ask you, if you died today, do you know for sure? Click. But at least give it a shot, right? Or as you have to make your way onto the side of the road, and these beautiful red and blue lights are flashing behind you, and you're getting out your information, and the officer comes up to your window, and he says, "May I see?" He probably says, "Do you know why I pulled you over today?" And you say, "Thank you, officer, for pulling me over today. Yes, I do know why you pulled me over today. Here's my license. Here's my registration. Thank you very much for enforcing the laws of our community." That'd blow them away, wouldn't it? And say, "You know what? I'm so glad that you gave me a ticket today, because I have a ticket for you. A ticket to heaven. Do you know if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven, officer?" Not just stretching a little bit, maybe, huh? But who in the world has ever been thankful for a speeding ticket? Hallelujah. Okay, good. One. There's one good Christian in here. I'm just saying. Why not? Why couldn't that be the case? You see, that's a pipe dream, Brother Combs. It might be, but be thankful to all men, because God wants all to be saved. And a grateful attitude is the key to other people seeing God in your life. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So what is the continual sacrifice of praise to God? It's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Isn't that amazing? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, is the continual sacrifice of praise that God is pleased with. Like I said at the beginning, do not let a day go by that you don't thank God for his salvation. It'll change your life. And it may change the life of others. Go back to our text. It changed the life of this man, this stranger, this Samaritan. His faith made him whole. And he came back glorifying God for what had been done, not only in his physical body, but I believe in his spiritual being. Look at verses 15 and 16. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Not only should we be grateful for salvation, but we ought to be grateful for provision. It is God who provides all. It is. You say, "But I worked for what I have." Who provided you the ability to work? God. And we can chain link this all the way back to God. "Oh, well, this thing, God. This thing, God. This thing, God." It all goes back to him. You understand that we need to be grateful for what we have. What we're able to have. What we're able to get. The things that God has provided for us. You know, I've told you many times that it's important for us to show to the next generation the wonderful works of God. I am very careful in my household. Listen, I am a bargain hunter. I love a good bargain. I've just always been that way. And I enjoy things in getting to have nice things, but I don't want to pay the nice prices that go with it. Okay? So I enjoy getting things at a bargain. But you know what? I could easily take the credit. When I go to the store and I find a nice, beautiful cut of meat or
or package of this or package of that, half price or better, maybe on sale and half price. That's even better than that. That's great. You know, and I could come home and I could have these bags of nice things and I could say, look at what Daddy found. And I could take all the glory for it, couldn't I? But instead, I'd rather my children grow up knowing that God has provided for us. I would rather my children grow up knowing that it is God who has provided for us. You know, over and over again, in the secular world, I don't know if these people are saved or lost, but just random people that I meet out in town, whenever I get a chance to talk to them long enough to let them know that I've got 11 kids, one of the first things they say, well, how do you afford it? And my first answer is, I don't. And they look at me with a funny look. And I say, God does. God does. Why would I take the credit for feeding 11 children? I don't feed them. God does. God takes care of them. And you know what? He has. As they each come into this world, and because I believe that God is the one who gives us the children in the first place to watch over and care for. And if he's going to give them to me, he's going to help me take care of them. And he has. But why for one second would I take the credit for that? I want everybody to know that it is God who provides. And we ought to be thankful to him for his provision. I love what it says in Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Do people know that your God is great? They should. By your gratefulness of what God has provided for you, they should know that your God is a great God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. That's what it causes. This abundance and benefit and bountifulness in our lives causes thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In Philippians 4 it tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We ought to be grateful for the provision of God in our life. God has provided all things for us. In Psalm 147, I don't have time to read all 20 verses of this psalm, but it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. We ought to have a grateful spirit, grateful for salvation, and grateful for provision. Not only those two things, but often as a child of God, we go through difficult times. We know perilous times shall come. We know that the trying of our faith worketh patience. We know we're going to go through these trials and difficulties. We know that manifold temptations are going to be about us on every side. In the model prayer, Jesus taught his disciples. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. There's that provision. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now listen to this part. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ought to pray and ask God to deliver us from evil. You know what? He wants to, and he will, and he has. You know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for salvation. You know what I'm grateful for? I'm grateful for God's provision. But I'm also grateful for God's deliverance. For his deliverance. That he hath delivered me from the hand of the enemy. Remember Abraham? Even though Lot didn't make the right choice and got himself into a whole lot of trouble, Abraham went and helped to rescue him. And you know what? After they were done, they met up with this guy named Melchizedek, king of Salem. We don't have time to get into all of that, what that could be or what that might have been or what it seems like it is. I just want to read to you something out of Genesis 14. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. You understand that Abraham gathered together all of his servants, and he went to war against these kings. And they won. They won. What did Melchizedek say? And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Yeah, they went out and did the fighting, but God gave the victory. He's our deliverer. Oh, you can read over and over in Psalms and all over through the scriptures about God being our deliverer, our strong tower, our buckler, our trust, our safety. God is the deliverer. He's the great deliverer, and he should be given thanks for it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? In Romans 6 says, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under the grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Then being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Through salvation, God delivered us unto righteousness. We've been saved and changed into a new creature to serve unto good works created in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You understand that God is our deliverer. Remember Daniel? He was not afraid to be thrown into the lion's den. He knew God would deliver him. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh, we're not careful, King. We know that our God, He'll deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I love what Nebuchadnezzar said. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. In this case, the heathen king was the one giving thanks to God for the deliverance. Hey, it's just something that we need to do. In all of these cases that we've talked about and read about and looked at, with salvation and provision and deliverance, there's one common factor, and that's the vocalization of thanksgiving unto God for these wonderful things in the ears of others. You know what? When brothers and sisters in Christ are discouraged, they need to hear us giving thanks to God. When lost people don't know which way is up, and they don't know where salvation is or where it's going to come from or how it could happen, they need to remember or hear or see us giving thanks to God for our salvation and our provision and our deliverance. Why? Because it'll make a difference. Characteristic of being grateful.